Take item 292.
292, Office of Equity and Human Rights, 2015, Annual Report to Council.
Well, good morning. Dante James is going to lead off this presentation this morning about how we as a city are acting on, living, and institutionalizing our values.
Thank you.
Is there a PowerPoint? Okay. Carla will whisper the incantations necessary to make our AV system work. Our visitors while we're working on our
please.
Good morning. Welcome to Boral. Okay, how are we doing on the
I think we're good.
On technology good. Here. Are we ready to roll?
I think we are.
All right, good morning.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Dante James. I'm the Director of the Office of Equity and Human Rights, and it is my privilege this morning to be able to present to you the annual report of the Office of Equity and Human Rights for 2015-16. And interestingly, I think it's very powerful that we have followed the previous presentation on essentially an environmental justice issue, which more often than not is a racial justice, a social justice issue. So it's absolutely an equity issue in having these conversations about air quality and where and who is impacted by that. So I appreciate your taking that up and moving that forward. Before I begin, I'd really like to first, where'd I go?
Okay, they're not. Probably we don't have it either. Oh, there,
there
it
is. There it is. Okay.
I would first like to really thank my staff for their passion, their commitment, their patience, their perseverance, and their expertise in doing this work. I would ask them to stand or wave so that they can be publicly appreciated for the work that they do.
Good morning. Thank you all.
This work would not happen without this phenomenal staff. And they put in truly blood, sweat, and tears in doing this work because they believe in it. It is their passion, and it is their calling. And they don't consider this a 9-to-5. It's what they do all the time. So I really do want to thank them for that. I also want to specifically recognize Jeff Selby for his continued excellent work in the preparation of the annual report document that you have before you. We always get comments on how well it's done, and I think you have each commented and or tried to steal Jeff to do some of your work, so I appreciate that. I also want to thank Judith Mowry, who has been acting as the interim director while I'm in Portland. I'll be in Portland all of the month of April, finishing our inter-city agreement, so she's not done yet. And she's actually ill today, which hopefully doesn't reflect the level of difficulty in doing this work. And I also want to acknowledge the growing number of city staff and city leaders who have supported our work by making it theirs and taking it upon themselves to move this work forward in their bureaus or their departments. We have had a busy year. It's a year full of success as well as a year of moments with frustration and challenge. The office has expanded the depth and the breadth of its work, but also sometimes had to fight to be included in discussions where an equity perspective would bring valuable insight and improved outcomes for Portland residents of color, and Portlanders with a disability. This year, we have watched this world, this country, and this city struggle with issues of race, while also seeing city staff and bureaus become more engaged about addressing institutional racism and how they can work to be part of change that dismantles it. We have celebrated the 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disability Act, while seeing the difficulty many have in addressing those with physical and mental challenges. and the institutional barriers that exist, both in physical and programmatic ways. The office has just celebrated its fourth birthday. March 12, 2012 was the first day of the office. In that relatively short period of time, the office has become a national model of equity work. You can see on the slide, anyway, several jurisdictions with whom we have worked. We get phone calls every week from jurisdictions around this country asking how the office works, how have we set it up, how does it engage with the governmental aspects of the city, how do we engage with the bureaucracy, how have we done what we've done. So we truly have become a national model in offering advice and assistance to other public and private entities on a regular basis. Just 2 weeks ago, the deputy mayor of New Orleans came with a staff member to spend 2 days with my office, learning how we have accomplished what we have and how we continue to do our work. We have truly tried to stay true to the Portland plan and the many five-year action items within it. Specifically, we have, in terms of the heading areas of the Portland plan, we have closed the gaps, we have engaged the community, we have built partnerships, we have launched a racial justice initiative, we have increased focus on disability equity, and we have increased internal accountability. And so just what has been our work this past year? And so we've highlighted a number of things in the plan that you have. Obviously, we can't fit all of our work inside a document that you really spend any time reading. We really wanted to highlight some of the specific areas that we've done. So in general, we have continued to conduct and facilitate equity training. Our training curriculum and approach is a sought-after model because it is designed to offer concrete understanding and approaches to equity work. And if you look on page 4, some of the results of specific surveys that we have invited people to complete. Overall satisfaction with our training from all who have completed it is 92%. Satisfaction with facilitation has been 91.6%. The understanding of equity after the training has been 91.6%. And I think most telling is this, that's not in the document, that 75% of all who have participated in the training walked away and said they have an immediate ability with a practical takeaway to perform equity in the job that they do. I just think that's a huge statistic. And as we have, and I'll say this, as we have now made the training mandatory for all employees, we may see those numbers slip a little bit. The training that was originally, not originally done, but that was done prior to it being mandatory, people would sign up on their own or bureaus would specifically invite us to come and perform training. Now, I think we will see both sides of the spectrum of those who are really supportive, those who are, in the political term, persuadables, and those who just will never like doing this work. And so those, I guess I would just suggest maybe in the next year, some of those statistics may slip a little bit.
I have a question on that. On the previous slide, the 91% believe that they have a understanding of equity after the training. Is there any kind of test? Do we agree that they have a better understanding?
There's no test.
Self-reporting here.
It's self-reporting,
there's
right?
There's self-reporting because what I suggest, in the training, what we talk about is they should be able to walk out and explain to someone what equity is and the philosophy of the city and why it does it. Whether they agree or not, can they explain it if somebody says, what is this equity stuff? And
yeah,
this is their answer.
We might want to consider having a post-test just on that particular issue because mm-hmm. clearly if the evaluation says, unless you really hated the training per se and are willing to say so, obviously the answer to that question is supposed to be yes. And we have a lot of intelligent city employees who are going to tick yes. So I think it might be worth looking at some kind of qualitative mm-hmm. Evaluation, as you say, just or even just specifically, can you recite the chapter and verse as to what sure. the city's equity understanding is?
Provide an example or the description yeah. or definition, absolutely.
Yeah.
And just to be clear, all of these are anonymous, so there's no expectation that they're going to be called out because of whatever their answers are on the evaluation. But that's a good point. Thank you. We have, where am I? Am I going the wrong way? Yes. We have added and improved the training capacity of our staff by adding the responsibility of being on the training team for additional members of our staff. They are each passionate about this, and they want it to become a part of our training team in addition to their other expected work. We often get requests to offer training to outside entities, but have been very selective. as we are stewards of our time and the budget you have given to us. We have, however, provided our training to entities such as the senior leadership of both the University of Oregon and Portland State University, as we consider how and what we are teaching the next generation. We have also provided training to Senator Merkley's staff. We have also allowed other jurisdictions or nonprofits that provide services on behalf of or in contract with the city to attend our trainings. We have continued to provide technical assistance to city staff and city leadership. And it's not my intention this morning to go through a list of all that support that we provided, of all the accomplishments that we've achieved. I really would like to spend most of the time allowing our guests who are be invited after my remarks to offer their thoughts, answer any questions that you may have, and to offer a glimpse of the future of this office and its work. I do, however, want to highlight a few pieces of this year's work. So, under the leadership of the Commission on Disability, and with the assistance of Human Resources, we have a better snapshot based on surveys that were completed, two surveys actually were completed, of those employees in the city who identify as having a disability. If we are actually going to be a model employer of people with disability, we need to know if we are improving our hiring and how we are doing in creating a welcoming environment. We have provided support to the commissioner's staff as we work through regulating Uber and the requirements of their providing wheelchair-accessible vehicles in their services. We created the newest taxicab company, PDX Yellow Cab, a Somali-owned and operated company, as it has become a reality. And I believe several of the drivers here are here this morning to offer their support. So if you are, please wave a hand. We continue to provide assistance with police equity training in the advanced academies and during regular in-service trainings. We also provided assistance to the personnel division as they changed the oral board questions to better understand who the applicants are as individuals who understand who they are as members of the larger society and the communities that they serve. Our engagement in the budgeting process that we are all in the middle of, with the budget equity tool and the office's engagement with council and the budget office in the budget hearings, never fails to get oohs and ahs around the country for its innovation and equity engagement. We provided each of you the opportunity to vote on and support the new citywide racial equity goals and strategies. They represent a model of leadership that is envied and is being copied around the country. So as you can see, and you are very well aware of these particular goals and strategies, they have provided a goalpost for the bureaus as they prepare their racial equity plans. The roadmaps and the plans essentially lead to a racial equity strategic plan for the next 5 years. All of the bureaus have completed their assessments, internal assessments, and some of the bureaus have completed their plans. The rest are in the final stages of completion, and I'd like to share an example of just one of those that I thought was very well done. This is not the complete plan by any means. It's a couple of examples from the Bureau of Environmental Services. And it really reflects the good internal work that they've done in bringing all of their staff together to determine how they can better do equity internally and as they provide services from an external point of view. So in creating both action items, metrics, time frames and timetables, as well as who's going to be accountable and responsible for ensuring the work gets done. And so one of their action items is they're going to partner with regional high schools and colleges and expand internships and other opportunities for students who are underrepresented in the Bureau. The director's office is responsible for that. And then their metrics is the number of high school internships that are completed for students from disadvantaged communities. Another is, did I just do that? Yes. I'm sorry. And similarly, to partner with high schools and colleges, provide short-term shadowing opportunities so students can come from those underrepresented or underprivileged communities and shadow within the Bureau so they can get a better sense of the work opportunities that may be available to them and provide some sense of a greater awareness of what the Bureau actually does. And additionally, track and have a goalpost for the number of youth-focused career demonstrations or field trips that they are engaged in with underrepresented high schools and underrepresented communities. I thought this was important, since I always say that if you want to know what's important to an entity, follow the money. The Bureau has its own equity and diversity committee, and they're establishing a specific budget for that committee to assist in ongoing training, possibly bringing an outside capacity to continue the conversation so that the idea of equity is just not a one-off, but it's a continuing conversation within that bureau, and they're actually going to resource that with dollars. This also is important. They are going to ensure that there are equity metrics in employment or in annual performance evaluations. So by the end of next year, they will have performance evaluation criteria within all performance evaluations based on equity and inclusion. We have, where am I at? Black male achievement is still going strong. The BMA will be co-sponsoring, along with the county, a Black Men and Boys Healing Summit this summer. This past summer, the City of Portland, through the BMA, hosted seven other BMA cities in a two-day national convening, which culminated in the hip-hop concert in City Hall. This summer, it will once again be placing a group of young men in the SummerWorks program. We'll also be leading a project to address an issue they see that is specific to their community. So moving forward, our goal is to continue to institutionalize and infuse this work in the city government and in the way that we do business. I believe, however, that we're in the most difficult phase of this work. Beginning this work is easy because everybody just says, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what this is.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, that's true. Easier for maybe us as we try to expect people to listen to what we have to say when they will acknowledge they don't know. So that's why I say it's a little easier in the beginning to do this work. We are, again, truly a national model. But we still have work to do. We are now at the place where many staff believe that they, quote unquote, get it. Unfortunately for some, there is not yet the depth of understanding of the root causes that are continuing to create the disparities that exist or in the opportunities that we can create to better benefit everyone. So if I can use an analogy based on my over 40 years of doing martial arts, some of the most dangerous folks are those who are just before black belt, brown belt, red belt, because they know a little to be dangerous and hurt themselves as well as others. But they are not yet the expert in their ability to control what they do and how they do it and understand the depth of what they do. And so I would suggest now that we have a lot of brown belts and red belts running around the city who are not yet ready to be black belts. We have reorganized our office this year to be more efficient and effective to ensure the continued best equity work for the city. Our next goal for the office is to look at a CBO-type model, where we provide expertise to bureaus by staff who are able to become more knowledgeable about the specific work of bureaus that they have in a particular portfolio. Bureaus use a human resource consultant even if they think they understand employment issues. Bureaus need a budget analyst to assist with their budget. I'm a licensed attorney, but I'm still expected to, and I need to, use the city attorney's office, especially in areas that are not of my expertise. The idea of an equity analyst with a portfolio of bureaus is analogous to each of these. More that we're doing. DEEP, the Diversity and Empowered Employees of Portland, which is under the umbrella of the office, will be moving forward with their leadership project, specifically for people of color and women. The goal is to build capacity and opportunity for people of color and women to move into the leadership pipelines that exist, both explicitly and implicitly, in this city. In the last 2 years, we have improved the overall number of people of color who work for the city from 18% to 21%, while the overall number of people of color in management or supervisory positions has remained about 5 to 6%. So this program will provide mentoring and networking, helping to address that number. We plan on enlarging our engagement on the issue of disability. Portland can become a leader in disability work, equity work, in the same way it has become a leader in racial equity work. That will require a citywide commitment of resources, a commitment to resource the Bureau of Human Resources as they lead on making the city truly a model employer of people with disability, a commitment to resourcing our office as we lead on disability equity and Title II. This will require your commitment individually and collectively, not just to be supporters, but to be advocates for this work. Beginning in late spring, when I finally returned from Oakland, our office is planning on going through a strategic planning exercise to map out the next 3 to 5 years of the office. We purposefully did not do that in the first couple of years of the office as we continue to create and evaluate and the programs and practices that move equity work forward. And, you know, we talk about building the bike as we ride it. We essentially were number three in the country, really, to begin having an office in this way. Seattle was first, then King County, and then Portland. And so we are the OGs in this work. We're the old guard in doing this work. And so I won't call us old gangsters, we're the old guard in doing this work. And so as we began this, we were still really creating. And so at this point now, we're ready to really sink into a concrete 3 to 5 year strategic plan. One of my favorite sayings in training is that organizations move in the direction of the questions they ask. So we are constantly asking questions of our colleagues, and we do not shy away from asking ourselves similar questions about what works best and how we can improve. Our goal is, and always has been, to be transformational and not purely transactional. It is our intention to continue to embed this work, this conversation, and this way of doing business in our city government through our city staff. As I close, I want to thank you, commissioners, for your advocacy, for your commitment to this office, for engaging this office in your work, and expecting your bureaus to do the same. I want to specifically thank the mayor, who has become a full and complete supporter, not only of this office, but of the need for this work. He has included equity and expectations for budget and other city functions, and regularly raises awareness about institutional racism and institutional barriers when making presentations. Without the support of each of you, we would not be as far along as we are now. I'm often asked how we internally move this work forward to create change. I usually say that it is about building relationships with directors and staff more so than electeds, because electeds may come and go while directors impact their bureaus on a daily basis. That said, this office has been blessed with a city council that supports this work. And even if we disagree sometimes, you continue to speak to and consider the importance of equity as it benefits all the residents of this city. I can honestly say that when I began this work in Portland 4 years ago, I did not expect to be able to use Portland as a role model for equity. I and my staff now proudly do so around this country. As I hope you have heard, Portland is leading the way, and you are leading the way, in moving racial and disability equity forward in this conversation. And I just want to share a conversation I actually had with Andrew Scott, the budget director, yesterday. Because when we first started doing the budget equity process, the budget equity tool use, and having the conversation with the budget office 3 years ago, he told me that the conversation that he had with his staff elicited the comments of, we just do numbers. Why do we have to worry about equity? Well, that's not our role. Why is that our role? We just evaluate the dollars and the cents and that kind of thing. And now, I mean, you've seen the budget analysis by many, many members of the budget office. And I would suggest that it's 180 degrees different, that there is now a specific equity analysis in each and every one of those budget analyses that are done by the analysts. And I think it's made a huge difference. I think you've seen specific recommendations to do something differently based on an equity analysis. We're going to recommend the capital improvement project go over here first as opposed to over here based on equity. Funding this, not funding this, because it did not really address equity in the way it should. It's just, I think, a very complete difference from what it's been in the past. In Oakland and other places I've been, people ask me, how do I know this work is, how it's working? How are we making change? And my answer is that the conversation now has become normalized in the same way now we talk about sustainability or talk about anything else, recycling. I mean, when we started recycling, I got to separate my trash. I don't want to separate my trash. How do I do that? And now it's people get mad because you don't have extra receptacles to do your recycling. So it's a normal conversation. I would suggest that is where the conversation about equity is in the bureaus and within the city government, is that now it's a part of the normal conversation that we ask, who are we impacting? What communities are being impacted by what we do and how we do it? How do we mitigate for specific issues? How do we mitigate for detrimental impacts to folks? That conversation is happening in a way it has not did not happen 3 or 4 years ago. So I hope that you are also proud of this work and are proud of the office and the city as it moves forward, leading in the next phase of enhancing equity in this city. We're not done. We don't always do it well. We don't even always do it right. But I believe that we do our work with the best interests of all residents in mind, understanding the extra issues that face people of color and people with a disability every day. And we have significantly moved the needle and normalized this conversation. Before I bring up invited speakers, where's my slide? There it is. We have something, we have a gift for you. The clerk has it, and she's going to offer them to you, I think. We have some cards for you that hopefully you can keep at your desk that will allow you to consider equity in all you do, in knowing how to start and what kind of questions to ask, in how you're evaluating whatever comes before you. Is my implicit bias impacting how I think about this issue? How will this issue impact communities of color? How will this issue impact people with disability? Is there an opportunity to mitigate any disparities? So when we talk about an equity lens, you know, that's the buzzword. Everybody wants to get their equity lens so they can know how to do this. And I've seen them that they're so big that it takes a PhD to use. It shouldn't be. It should be a simple set of questions that you can easily run through your mind and evaluate what you're doing and how you're doing it. So we just offer this to you. Hopefully you tape it to your desk and use it on a regular basis. Those are my remarks. I have some invited guests that I would love to add to this conversation. Philip Wolf, who's a member of the City's Commission on Disability, Tracy Reeve, who is Portland City's attorney, and Ramfis Villatoro, who is the Grassroots Giving Director at MRG Foundation. And after their remarks, I'm happy to take any questions you may have or go through this document a little bit more closely.
Great. Thank you very much, Dante. Why don't we go ahead and bring them up and then have you back. Thank you very much. Okay. Come on up, please.
Let's make sure we have you on camera here. I think we still may be in. Is it?
First. Okay. Who's going to lead off?
All right. Good morning, Mayor. Commissioners, my name is Tracy Reeve. I'm the Portland City Attorney, and I'm here to appreciate the partnership that the Office of Equity and Human Rights has shown our office as we seek to achieve our own strategic goals. When I became City Attorney a couple of years ago, we adopted 4 new strategic goals to guide our work, and one of them is to support and advance the City's objective of achieving equity in all of its programs, services, and activities. And the Office of Equity and Human Rights has really stepped up to assist us in doing that. Last year, we asked the office if they could provide training for all of our attorneys and staff in Equity 101, and they did that and tailored it for us. This past year, they've also provided training for our office, lawyers, and staff on microaggressions and facilitated a discussion on those topics. This year in particular, I want to appreciate the work that the Office of Equity and Human Rights did to partner with us and the Governing Alliance for Racial Equity to put on a 2-day conference that was a convening of equity for government lawyers. And Dante's staff, and in particular Judith Mowry and others from the office, did a lot of work organizing that. We were able to piggyback on Professor John Powell being up here for some other work that he was doing. He's a Berkeley Law professor and the proponent of targeted universalism and a known scholar in these areas. And we were able to have all of the lawyers from our office, as well as lawyers from other local government offices and lawyers from offices around the country, participate for 2 days to talk about how, as government lawyers, we can support and advance equity in the work that our clients do. And it was just an excellent opportunity to learn from the best and also to share information with our colleagues locally and nationally. And we would not have been able to do that without the Office of Equity and Human Rights and our city's membership and participation in GARE, the Governing Alliance for Racial Equity. We also were able to use that to the city's benefit. Our office was able to get that 2-day conference certified for 10.5 hours of Oregon CLE credit. So all of our lawyers received that credit, as did the other local lawyers who participated. So as we strive in our offices work to advance the city's objective of achieving equity, we have just found the Office of Equity and Human Rights to be an outstanding partner.
Good morning.
Morning, Mayor, Commissioners. I wanted to start off by apologizing if I'm really jittery. Have a newborn and just had a ton of coffee this morning, so if I jump out of my seat.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you, thank you.
Sleep deprivation will eventually be less of an issue.
Yeah, it's a little hazy right now. Today I'm really cognizant that I'm not the first, nor am I the last, for members of the public to testify on equity. And I think there's a general fear in the community about equity just being a buzzword, equity being a flavor of the month or the year, just like we feel like has been for diversity and inclusion in the past. These aren't just mere buzzwords for us. What we're really talking about is addressing remnants of institutional racism and implicit bias. And I think EHR and the city have done much to advance how the city sees equity and tries to address equity. But I think there is still challenges ahead that have been brought up today or been alluded to. From what I've heard from the community, when we're talking about the Equity in Contracting Purchasing Commission, we're talking about community benefit agreements around development projects, when we're talking about the Portland building and the 1%, folks are talking about equity. And when they mean by equity, they're talking about the bedrocks of accountability and transparency. The same thing we're talking about today, about how the oversight around our air quality is no different from air quality to what we're talking about for equity and inclusion within the city and our workforce. Transparency and accountability. Again, other themes of today, which is how can we move to where we are now? We're talking about creating, developing tools and lenses to see equity and having an equity lens to actually holding ourselves accountable to our equity goals. I think a true bedrock to reaching that is partnerships with community groups. I think it's a good first step internally to think about these things. But we have expertise and people outside the community. I'm talking about the groups like Urban League, Verde, who have worked on equity, who can bring a level of expertise to the city as it oversees its implementation of equity goals. I think it's a value added for the city to take that step of true partnership with community partners as we implement our workforce equity goals. This could be done via an advisory commission or an oversight commission. Having expertise to review and revise our equity strategies, to review and revise what our bureau directors are implementing, but to make transparent our data, to make sure that our data is being reported in a timely manner. I think steps have been taken, but I think that's an area of an improvement where community partners can review and create a standard of how data is being reported. If the data is not reported accurately to community groups or in a timely manner, it inhibits our ability as community partners to effectively provide feedback for the city on its implementation of its equity goals. So today I ask the commission to recommit to its to equity, to recommit to community partners who have demanded equity in the past, not just in the areas of this commission, which I'm here to testify, but even in areas around contracting and purchasing, around CBAs, around the Portland building. Recently, community partners have partnered with OEHR to present a resolution to bring in more oversight, but what I would call really a stronger partnership between community groups and the city to bring in a tool, really, to review and revise and give advice on how to implement its workforce equity goals. And until we have that mechanism built in place, I feel like the public just believes that equity is just a buzzword. And really, I think it's time, you know, I think we're at the moment and juncture where community groups need to take ownership of equity. Equity cannot be co-opted. And if this is truly a priority, if equity truly matters, we truly want to address a history of racism within the city, then we must not go after transactional relationships. We must go after transformational change. And I think the ask for transparency and timeliness and accountability are really easy steps. So I'd be happy to talk more about this. I know there are other community partners who've been talking about this for before me for several years, who continue to, who are ready and willing and able to continue to come back to the table with the city and with the Office of Equity and Human Rights to put some more teeth, if you will, on how we implement our workforce equity goals within the city. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. I'd just like to respond. The focus of the office intentionally was internal, and the community, when it was set up, agreed with that. We have made progress, as has been reported in this annual summary. We still haven't trained all of our internal folks yet. We've increased the number of people of color from 18% to 21% in the city's workforce in the last 2 years, which is progress. It's not yet reflective of the community as a whole. So I think that that's probably a conversation that needs to happen with the new mayor as to when it becomes that the office starts working more intentionally with the community and inviting the community in to do more oversight. What we heard very strongly from the community when we set it up, which was surprising to me, I wasn't expecting to hear it, was first put your own house in order. And I think we've made a lot of progress towards that. How we re-engage with the community is a very valid point. And we're going to be asking the council to look at the New Portlanders Council and expanding that into a commission. I think that that conversation will inform what you're suggesting in terms of an oversight commission, or how does the Human Rights Commission interact, the Commission on Disability. There's a number of, we're not done yet. And I think that was your point, is that there's a lot more to do. And I absolutely agree.
Could I respond? You know, I do, thank you for those feedback. I think, you know, from just to echo what we heard earlier today in Dante's presentation, I think those relationships need to be built outside of elected officials. I think it's between the bureau directors and those community partners.
Yes.
There is no reason why we can't get this done. This is a low-cost, efficient a way of working. You know, we have groups who have expertise who are willing and able to provide that. There is no reason why that work can't happen now. We do not have to wait for a new mayor for this relationship, these conversations to start happening. I think I would like to believe that we have the leadership now and the urgency of now to begin taking these steps. You know, we've had these conversations, you know, months ago, back in August, you know, with the mayor's office. You know, I think there is no reason, you know, calling back again to the urgency of now. Now is a great moment to continue these conversations, to develop these strategies. But in terms of, you know, and also with the implementation of these work for equity numbers, there's still no transparency on what levels and what job areas are we seeing these numbers improvement. Is it just in one department? Is it in multiple departments? But these are, just questions I think the community and the public has.
Yeah, good points. Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Philip Wolf. Thank you for having me here today. It's good to see you all again, commissioners and mayor. I took a day off from work to be here today and provide a few comments that I want to share. I serve on the commission, PCOD, since 2013. And I've traveled from different cities, New York, D.C., L.A., San Francisco. I even learned gestural signs in France, and now I'm here in Portland. And with my experience and my experiences in different communities, Portland really shines. It's not just about equity. It's about inclusion and the environment and the people and the opportunities that are here to address the thoughts and experiences and philosophies that are out there. People here, they work in regards to equity, and I think there's a great opportunity that's been started. And now that I've been involved with PCOD and the process there, and understanding how OEHR supports the agencies and supports PCOD, I understand their role more now that I've been involved, and I'm really impressed with the office, and I'm grateful to have Dante and James be our Dante James be the director and support our work. And it's a big office, and actually to go in and see the pictures on the wall and get to know him better and interact with him has been a great opportunity. And so I feel like I'm really getting an understanding. I'm proud to be here and to be on the advisory board. A big success that we recently had is in regards to the captioning that was passed because of you and the work that you did. And you took a bold risk to support that bill, and you heard us. So I want to thank you again for doing that. Okay, so to wrap up, Dante talked about equity, and I want to point out about make a point about equity. It's not just a political statement, or just until the House of Oppression comes down. It should be a normalized conversation, as he was talking about, because we are all human, and so. As a model, the OEHR and the work they've done, I think that other cities can follow the work that we've done and emulate those results, and will create change, and that'll create impact. And there's several other states now that are asking me how we can adopt some of the stuff that we've done here in their cities. And so we're closing those gaps, and we're creating bridges between the deaf community and other communities of disability that have been overlooked in the past. And Portland has limited resources, but I'm here. I'm here as a resource and to collaborate with the members and the stakeholders involved. So I'm really proud to say that I'm looking forward to the model that we're creating and the more successes that we're going to have. We've looked over the I've reviewed the budget, and I ask you to continue your support with the OEHR and their work with us, and I'm looking forward to continuing to be here and working with you. So if you have any questions, feel free to ask.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate your presentations and appreciate your work on this priority for us as a city. Thank you so much. So anyone else want to speak on this report before we bring Dante back up for any final comments and discussion?
I have three people signed up.
Okay.
Joe Walsh, Daywood Muhammad, and Muhammad Dahir.
Please, come on up. I think maybe others had to leave. But. So go ahead, please, Mr. Walsh.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. And we take no money from city, county, or state funds. We like the brochure. Brochure is very impressive. One of the questions that was asked is that if we're dealing with equity, we have a problem right now with about 15 candidates running for mayor. And these forums that are being set up by nonprofits are excluding most of them. There's only about two or three or four or sometimes six that are invited. And they have these arbitrary decision-making processes that have nothing to do with equity at all. So when we pat ourselves on the back and we do really nice brochures with pictures of lots of people smiling, we have a problem because we can't get citizen representatives in front of the public because they don't raise $10,000. Think about that. What we're fed is the shills for the corporations because they got the money. They can raise $10,000, snap of a finger, Mr. Wheeler, Mr. Bailey, even Sarah. So when you say equity, what does that mean? Does that mean that we are going to treat people equally? No. It's a very closed loop. Look at this brochure. It's a closed loop. Congratulations. You're all doing a good job. This is not a critic of them. It's a critic of the system. The system is wrong. You cannot have equity and then turn around and say, we are not going to let you speak. We're not even going to let you on the bus. Never mind telling you to get in the back of the bus. And that's what exclusion is. It's not getting on the bus. So when you do this stuff and you make these brochures and you're all good people and you're giving your time and I praise staff and I praise volunteers, but I really get angry with you.
Dante, please come on back up. So, any questions, concerns to raise with our great director here? And
I just have one. In a previous report, you asked each of the council to commit to dedicating 10 hours of staff time within each of our bureaus for the staff to attend the Citywide Racial Equity Committee.
Right.
That has now transitioned. Do you have a new ask for us since that committee is no longer meeting?
The ask would be the same. The transitional entity tentatively is called the Fellowship for Racial Equity. And so it will be a cohort of individuals from not all, but a significant population of the bureaus so that we can have essentially a fellowship for 9 to 12 months where they can become very specifically focused on depth and breadth of equity work so that they can be, in some sense, the next entity that begins to spread this work throughout the city. So it is not yet in final phases, but that would be the ask, is that those individuals who are part of that fellowship be allowed the same sense of 10 hours per month of equity work from within their bureaus. Thank you.
It's the same amount of commitment.
Yes. Yes.
Great. Anything you want to add to close this discussion? Thank you.
Not really. I mean, I think, you know, just to make it clear that, as we've said, that the focus of the work is essentially internal, but that is so that communities will benefit from improved ways that the city does its work, improved ways that the bureaucrats and the city employees do their work, so that the city residents, all the residents, will benefit much more specifically because of how the internal aspects are rethinking about how to focus and how to do their work. So I just want to be very clear about that. That is, our goal isn't just to stay focused on just city employees, but because the end user of all of the work that the city employees do are the residents of the city, and that's really why we do this work.
Thank you very much. Okay, I think a motion is in order to accept the report.
So moved.
Second. And let's take a vote, please.
Ritz.
Thank you for your work. I am pleased with how it's going. I want to be very clear with the community and with city employees that our work is not done. We have definitely made a good start, and equity has started to become something that many more city employees and people in the community understand, embrace, and care passionately about, and do feel the urgency. There are still a lot for whom some or none of those is the case, and we must continue to intentionally engage the next mayor. I want to share your lauding of Mayor Hales and your leadership, Mayor Hales, of this bureau over the last 4 years. It has come a long way, and there is still a long way to go. But one of the concerns when the community was engaging in 2010, 11, and 12 was that it would be like every other diversity and inclusion work that the city has done over the past 10, 20, 50 years, that it would come and go, and there wouldn't be any outcomes. And we are starting to see outcomes even this early. We have established the office, funded the office through the recession and through the recovery from the recession, and will continue to do so. So it is becoming institutionalized equity starting to take over from institutionalized racism. I'm also especially pleased with the decision that we made to include disability as a secondary focus, and the work that the Commission on Disability has done, that your staff have done, and that everybody in the city has also embraced also, and the work that's being done in the bureaus to work on the transition plan and the specific physical things that need to be fixed. And while we're doing the moral imperatives and the philosophical and other discussions, which are not so easy to quantify, it's very satisfying to be able to check off and say, yes, at least we have changed the way the door handle works or whatever. And I thank all of your staff and all the city bureaus who take those steps and then engage on the also difficult work of figuring out how do we become a model employer of people with disability, how do we work on all of the other issues that we need to do with a very small number of staff, which so then it does require engagement of everybody in the city. And so I thank you for your work, and yes, there's more to do.
Director James, thank you for an excellent report. I'm going to hand this out to all my bureaus and all the folks that I have oversight of and say, the next time we do an annual report, I'd like it to look like this. And I should also say I apologize for poaching one of your team members.
Thank you. And she's here, too, so I want to.
But that's equity in action.
Yes.
Equity is also a ladder and a ladder of opportunity. So thank you for your work. And, you know, I've had a chance to participate in a number of the forums that you've convened where you brought community members together. And it's very powerful. And we're all learning. And we're doing it in a collaborative way. And I love the stories in this report. I love the human component, the people piece. And as Commissioner Fritz said, we have a lot more work to do, but we are becoming more intentional. And there's another piece that we can do, which is through the relationship with our bureau directors, we can put very clear expectations in our annual letters. And that, in turn, translates to working with your bureau on implementation plans and then action plans. So I thank you for your good work. And I just also want to acknowledge that there was great skepticism about this enterprise. But there was a fierce champion in Commissioner Fritz that helped us initially with Mayor Adams launch this thing. And I appreciate the leadership of Mayor Hales as the commissioner in charge. And I fully expect that the next mayor, whoever he or she is, picks this up and takes us to the next level. So thank you, sir. Aye.
Novick.
Thank you, Director James. Thanks for all the work your office does. I'm always particularly appreciative of the input in the budget process. And as you pointed out, you know, the budget is how we express our values. So the work of the office and the budget process is critically important. I also want to thank you for this equity lens. And I think you said that, you know, you don't want an equity lens to be a 1,000-pound monocle. You want it to be something we'd actually use. So this, I think, is great to have, and I'm going to keep it here on my desk permanently. Thank you very, very much. Aye.
Thank you.
Hales.
Well, Dante, thank you. First, I want to thank my colleague, Commissioner Fritz, for her leadership on this work, because that's why we're here. And two, you and your professional staff are first rate. And the fact that we are national leaders is perhaps in part due to policy at the council level, but it takes really effective people and leadership in the bureaus that has achieved what you've achieved so far, and that's great, and I'm proud of the work that you and your team are doing. I also want to thank the volunteers that serve in so many different ways, the Portland Commission on Disabilities, the Human Rights Commission, our diverse and empowered employees at Portland who give of their time to support this work, the Black Male Achievement Steering Committee, where we've recruited this amazing group of civic leaders from across the city to support the work. So like a lot of things in Portland that become institutionalized, like sustainability, it requires leadership at the council, it requires an effective bureau, but then it requires a lot of people in the community that are backing and supporting and enlivening that work, and that's exactly what we have going on with these amazing volunteers. So that's you're really adding a lot of value. And let me mention just three ways I think this work is adding value to the city. One, we're learning. It's a process, and each of us as city employees have had the opportunity or are having the opportunity to learn about equity thanks to the training and the work that you do. I've learned, as a privileged white male, I've learned that I am, although perhaps not to blame for racism, I am responsible for it, and that's true of all of us, that we have the chance to learn where we fit in the work of equity. And I've learned a lot from you and from your team, and I appreciate that. Secondly, it's empowering change. You mentioned the change in the consciousness of the budget office. I'm proud of the change in the culture and consciousness of the police bureau, which you've helped support. Also a work in progress. But when you see Chief O'Day and his leadership and the approach they take and the work that they're doing in both the community and in the bureau, to make that change, you understand that equity is becoming real in a place that it must become real. The most dire thing that we do, police our city. And then third and most pleasant is I get to see how this affects individual people and their careers and their opportunities. Ariel, I talked about Stefan Hartley last week, and as well as Ariel, the people that I've seen, young people that have had their careers and their opportunities enhanced through the work of this city and through the opportunities that we create, to have a young man in the community come forward as Khalid Bombeck did and say, I've got this basketball team, I need a place to play, and have that lead to what we've done in the community centers. That, to me, is one of the greatest pleasures of leadership, is just seeing people grow and develop and exercise leadership on their own. And so if we become a more equitable city, we create more places where people can lead that way as citizens. And that's good work as well. So thank you all for work well done. Much more to do. Aye. Thank you all. What a great report.
Thank you.
Let's suspend the rules, and thank you very much. Okay.